Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Sean Francis. Sean is running for the New York State Senate against Kathy Marchione. So, Sean, how's the campaign going?
Well, thanks for having me, Cynthia. The campaign's going great. We are working hard every single day. It's really starting to heat up now as we head into the summer. Busy every single day, doing all I can to reach out to voters, but I think it's going very, very well, and I think we have a real good chance of winning this November.
Now, how big is your district?
The district is pretty big. It covers basically the eastern half of Saratoga County, a few townships in Washington County, virtually all of Rensselaer County, except for the cities of Troy and the city of Rensselaer, and then all of Columbia County. So north to south, it's a pretty geographically big district.
Brent, how many miles does that take in?
You know what? I haven't measured it, but I know when I live just up outside of Saratoga Springs, so more towards the northern end of the district. And when I have to, when I go to an event, say in the city of Hudson, it takes me a good hour and a half to get down there, down the thruway. So it's a pretty big district, and it takes a lot of work to cover that much distance. But I'm doing everything I can to make sure that voters from north to south, east to west, and all across the district know who I am and know about our race this fall.
Now, how's your car? Is it what's standing all of the traveling?
Yeah. Actually, just recently picked up a new used car just for the campaign purposes, so that we have a car that can zigzag all over the district and withstand the miles.
Now,
it's a lot of driving, that's for sure.
Sure is. Now, it seems that there's one particular spot in your district that's really the focal point right now, and that's Hoosick Falls. Can you tell everybody a little bit about Hoosick Falls, about the water there, and how the incumbent, Kathy Marchione, is treating this issue?
Yeah. You know, this is an issue that has been on my radar for a while now, and obviously it's coming to a head politically and in the media for the last few weeks and months. It's a really unfortunate situation. A chemical called PFOA, which is used in the manufacturing of Teflon-coated pans, has infiltrated the water supply in both Hoosick Falls and the town of Petersburg, which are both nearby towns. Both towns have a manufacturing company in town that used the chemical. The chemical seeped into the groundwater and got into the water supply. PFOA is a toxic chemical. The long-term effects aren't fully known yet, but certainly not something that you want to be ingesting. Exactly when this started, how long it's been in the water is unclear. It's what they call an accumulative toxin, which means it doesn't go away. It just builds up over time. The average American may have 2 to 3 parts per billion in their bloodstream just from normal day-to-day living. The people in Hoosick Falls are reporting levels of 200, 300, 400, 500 parts in their bloodstream. And so this is a problem. And, you know, what has happened, and, you know, one of the reasons why I'm running this fall against Senator Marchione is that I feel like, oh, I believe, and I've known for a while, that she's just simply not doing the job of state senator. Here you have a situation where clean, healthy, safe drinking water. This is not a partisan issue. This is a health issue. It's a health and safety issue. It should come before all else. And while this issue has been going on for months and months and months in the public eye, the senator hasn't done much of anything about it. She had put forth one bill, and that bill was only to extend the statute of limitations for the people of Hoosick Falls to sue. Which is fine, but it certainly doesn't address how the issue occurred in the first place. It certainly doesn't address what we're going to do going forward on a state level to make sure that it doesn't happen again, not only in Hoosick Falls, but anywhere in the state of New York. But going back to that bill, She introduced it early part of the session, January, February time, and didn't even speak to the majority leader of the Senate of her own party about it. The final days of the session came, and she even tried to, under pressure from the business lobby, amend and change the bill to effectively kill it. Thankfully, the people of Hoosick Falls, myself, and other activists spoke up and put pressure on her, and she did re-unamend it and get that bill passed. But ultimately, that's all that's happened. And for me, the biggest issue is a couple things. One, obviously, we need to be taking care of the health of the people that are affected right now in Hoosick Falls and Petersburg. But long-term, as a state senator, your job, I believe, is to legislate. And we need to be legislating health, safety, environmental regulations that ensure that this doesn't happen again. And that's simply not happening. And one of the ways we can do that is through public hearings in the New York State Senate to bring in experts, to get subpoenaed documents, testimony, find out what it is that we can do to prevent this from happening again. And Senator Marchione is against having hearings. She wants a task force versus a hearings, which would be handpicked people on a task force that would do their business in private rather than under the public eye, and certainly the wrong approach. And the people of Hoosick Falls and Petersburg are taking her to task for it, rightfully so. And it's something that, it's unfortunate because it's a health and safety situation. But politically speaking, it's something I think she's going to pay a price for this November.
Now, who would appoint the task force?
The governor, Governor Cuomo, would appoint the task force. And one of the biggest questions going on right now around this situation, not only is how did this happen in the first place and how do we prevent it from happening ever again, which is a priority of mine, but the other question is, when did the state of New York know, when did the people in the Cuomo administration know? And there is a dialogue out there now that the Cuomo administration was notified and the 18 months go by before the Department of Health started notifying the people of Hoosick Falls. Those on the playing political games with this see that as an opportunity to attack the governor. Really what I want to say is I'm not jumping to any conclusions. Public hearings will find that out. Maybe there is justification for it. Maybe there isn't. Maybe there was something intentionally done wrong. Maybe it was something inadvertent. Obviously those who are against the governor politically have already tried and convicted him in their own minds and want to find him guilty of some sort of wrongdoing. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. Let's just have public hearings and let's figure that out, find out when the governor knew and when he didn't know. But that said, to have then the governor appoint a task force that would be his handpicked people that would do their work in private and then just submit a report several months later, I don't think is the right approach. If there, especially with questions about whether or not it was the governor's administration that knew about this before they said anything about it.
Well, let me ask you this question. What is Senator Flanagan's stance on this issue?
Well, most recently, he has said that he would follow the lead of his member, Senator Marchione, whose district it is. And since Senator Marchione is calling for the task force and not the public hearings, his position is that the Senate Republicans won't hold the hearings. Now, it's important to note, though, that the Senate Democratic Conference has called for hearings. And so this fall, if we elect a Senate majority for Democrats, there certainly will be hearings, public hearings in the Senate next year. Thankfully, the Assembly Democrats have already called for hearings, and they'll be holding their hearings in September. So now it's just left to the Senate to hold hearings. And if Senator Marchione is sticking by her call for task force, then what we'll need to do is simply elect a majority for Democrats this fall so we can have hearings next year.
From your understanding, with just this PFOA issue, what is the relationship now between Speaker Hastie and the governor? Is it strained?
You know, I'm not in privy to the private conversations, and I'm reading a lot in the media that the reason that the Assembly Democrats are now calling for hearings is because the relationship between Hastie and the governor is strained. You know, that's what's being reported in the media. I don't know that to be true, and I always try to, you know the facts before I speak on something. And that goes back to why I say, you know, public hearings are important here, because, again, Republicans and the opponents of the governor have already tried and convicted his administration without even having any sort of hearings on this sort of thing. So I think it's important that we just stick to the facts as best we can, especially when we're talking about the health and well-being of children and families in Hoosick Falls and Petersburg. It's not the time to play political gamesmanship. It's time to just get hearings, get the facts out, know the truth, and solve this problem.
The Todd Kaminsky has a, because of Todd Kaminsky, there's a one seat majority in the New York State Senate. But then there's the IBC, the five members of the IBC, and there's also Senator Felder. So you're talking six members who you have to overcome to gain a majority in the Senate. And with Kathy Hochul kind of praising now Flanagan and the Senate Republicans, any candidate who's running on the Democratic line for this New York State Senate has a real uphill battle. What do you say about that?
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, the average voter is going to go and vote in their best interests. And I know that my district is a Republican-leaning district for sure. There's certainly more Republican voters than Democratic voters. However, it's a district that has elected the Democrat at the top of the ticket every single year. President Obama carried this district both times. Governor Cuomo carried the district his first election. Senator Clinton, last time she ran for Senate in 2006, carried this district 60-40. And in 2014, in a Republican wave year across New York and across the country, Comptroller DiNapoli carried the district 53%. So voters here in the 43rd district will vote for Democrats if we can reach them, if we can get our message out, and we can communicate to them, and they know they got a good Democratic candidate to run to choose from. So while people think that it is an uphill battle, I think it's a much more winnable seat than people realize. And then when you have a situation like this in Hoosick Falls and Petersburg come up, and the Senator Marchione's skills as a senator are on display for everyone to see, it makes it much more of a competitive race. That said, about the majority, we do have more Democrats elected right now than Republicans in the Senate. You're right about the IDC breakaway conference. I think we have a real good shot to pick up some seats. I think this seat, this 43rd seat, first and foremost, is in play for the first time in a long time. A very competitive seat here in the Capital Region, Senator Amador and Sarah Nicoli. I think Sarah is going to win that seat this fall. There's a seat in the Hudson Valley being competed for by Terry Gibson, who was already a senator at one point. That seat's in play. So I think we have a real shot of winning four, five, six seats this year. It's a presidential election year. Democrats always do better in a presidential election year. We've got some good candidates. And people see what the Senate Republicans are all about and how they do business, and they're upset about that. Even Republicans. I've got Republicans who are upset at how the Senate Republicans are operating. So I think we have a shot. I think we have a real shot at winning the majority outright this year, despite the IDC. And then hopefully that's an opportunity to bring the IDC back into some sort of relationship with the mainline Democrats and get a long-term, long-standing majority for Democrats.
Now, Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin has been calling to hearings, and he's been vocal, and he's been out there. Do you think what he's doing, and now Representative Chris Gibson is coming out in support of the people of Hoosier Falls, do you think ultimately this will hurt Senator Marchione and help you? How do you feel about her fellow Republicans coming out and calling to hearings?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this goes to just what I just said, which is that Republicans are even realizing what an awful job Senator Marchione is doing handling this situation. Steve McLaughlin and I know Steve. I've met him a couple times, very friendly guy, but Steve and I probably wouldn't see eye to eye on a lot of ideological issues. But on this issue, he's right. I do, however, say that I think he's right for the wrong reasons. I think Assemblyman McLaughlin is looking at this for an opportunity to go after the governor. And again, as I said earlier, if the governor did something wrong, if his administration did something wrong, he needs to be held accountable for that. But again, Steve McLaughlin is one of those ones who's already tried and convicted in his own mind without even having the hearings. But I'm glad that he's calling for the hearings. It's the right thing to do. And Assemblyman McLaughlin has called Senator Marchione to task for that in recent reports in the media and has complained about her handling of the situation. So that just goes to show you that Republicans, elected Republicans, and you know the average voter Republican out there. I've talked to other Republican leaning media people that have been very vocal in their condemnation of Senator Marchione and her handling of the situation. So yes, C. McLaughlin calling for hearings. I'm glad he's calling for hearings, and his actions and his words are certainly not helping Senator Marchione.
Now, the PFOA situation is the predominant issue in your race for the New York State Senate. What other issues are of major concern to you that will be addressed this year?
Well, the PFOA issue is obviously something that has come up, that has developed. And I look at that for two reasons. One, just the humanity of people drinking contaminated water and the fact that it is clear that Democrats for years at the federal and state level have been the ones fighting for strong EPA, strong health and environmental regulations, clean water, clean air. And it's Republicans that have for years attacked health, safety, environmental regulations as being bad for business. Every single one of the Republican presidential candidates has called to eliminate the EPA altogether. So, I mean, if that's not clear, I don't know what is. Beyond the water and clean and healthy water situation, the other thing that's of vital importance to me is we need to reform how Albany works. Fundamentally, politically, the money that controls our politics in this country, but also here in the state of New York, is atrocious. We have no real good, strong campaign finance regulations in place. The ones we do in place have loopholes that you could drive a truck through. Senator Marchione has collected over $150,000 from one donor alone through the LLC loophole, one wealthy businessman in the town of Half Moon. And if that's not a glaring example of there is no campaign finance regulations in place. So we need to get the money out of politics. We need to reform how Albany works. I want to see term limits on the committee leaders and the party leadership, because that's where the power sort of coalesces in Albany. That three men in the room system, where three people go in a room, make the decisions for the entire state in private, and then just force legislation through the budgetary and the end of session process, is atrocious. It takes away the voice of regular people to have their representatives represent them in Albany. And we need to fundamentally change how we redistrict our assembly and Senate districts here in the state and get that to a citizen-led, citizen-run, independent commission free from politics. And so fundamentally changing how Albany works, I think, is the first step in changing a lot of things in the state of New York, including how we handle clean and healthy and safe drinking water.
Now, despite Preet Bharara and the U.S. attorney's, you know, fact that he's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and you would have thought that with his looking at Albany, that there would have been ethics reform this year, and there wasn't. So if it's not this year, when?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point. I mean, here you have people going to prison for this, and yet the legislature won't can't pass ethics reform. And I want to be very clear. There are a very large number of Republicans and Democrats in the Assembly and the Senate who want to make change. I know them personally, but the system is set up such a way that they can't get those reforms through because there's so much power that has condensed at the top that the rank and file Republicans and Democrats who want to change, who want to pass ethics reform, who would love to be able to go back to their districts right now this summer and this fall as they're running for re-election and say, we pass real comprehensive ethics reforms. And they can't. The only thing they were able to pass this year was step one of a constitutional change to strip pensions from those convicted of a crime. Well, great, but how do we prevent those crimes from happening in the first place? And I think it's the money in politics and the stranglehold on power that incumbency has that we need to change. We need to open up our elections, publicly finance our elections, make it easier for people to run for office. If we really want a true citizen-led legislature in the state of New York, then you got to make it so that real average citizens can run for office. You know, I'm taking on an entrenched incumbent, a career politician. I said before, she's got one donor who's already given her 100 or more thousands of dollars. She's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. It's very difficult for me to run a campaign against her. Now, I'm doing my best. I'm working hard. And I think this Hoosick Falls situation has given us a leg up. But the point is, we can't fundamentally change how things work and pass real progressive value legislation in the state of New York until we can wrestle the power away from those in control. And that's primarily at the top, at the leadership positions in Albany.
Now, as a challenger in an area that's heavily weighed against you, how are you doing as far as fundraising?
Well, let me say first, it's not heavily weighed against me. The registration gap between Republicans and Democratic registered voters is less than 5% of the overall registration. Since this district was redrawn in 2011, Democratic registration has gone up. Republican registration has gone down. So that's first and foremost. And as I mentioned before, Democrats at the top of the ticket win the district every time. So it's not as big of an uphill climb. Fundraising has gone well. Most of the money, because I'm a challenger and I'm a first-time candidate, and it's incumbent upon me to get my name recognition up, I don't have the luxury of hoarding cash and just stockpiling it till September, October. So the money that's coming in is going out. It's coming in and going out for social media posts. It's going out for printing literature, and we're doing literature drops in Hoosick Falls and other areas of the district. So the money's coming in. It's going out. You know, as fast as comes in, it goes out. But that's okay because that's what it's there for. It's, you know, as people give me $100, $25, $50, $100, $200, I mean, that money makes a huge difference for somebody like me because it allows me to, again, print signs, print materials, and get my message out to across the district. So I hope anybody who's listening who wants to support will go to my website and Sean-Francis.com and make a contribution because it will go a long way for me this fall.
So besides your website, you do have a Facebook page. How could people reach you?
Yeah, so again, the website is Sean-Francis.com, and Sean is spelled S-H-A-U-N. You can go on to Facebook and search for me, Sean, S-H-A-U-N, Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S. And I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SeanFrancisNY. And those are three great ways to reach me. Send me a message through my website or through Facebook if you want, or direct message me on Twitter if you want to volunteer, help out. We're always looking for people who can get involved in the campaign, knock on doors, make some phone calls, do those sorts of things. And obviously, if anybody's out there who's willing to send a contribution over, every dollar helps. You know, if you're a small dollar donor or a large dollar donor, every dollar helps, and we really would appreciate the support.
And Sean, this is going to be a very interesting year as far as the state Senate goes. So as the campaign progresses, would you like to come back and focus on Albany to share your thoughts?
I will be on as often as you would like to have me. Just please keep getting in touch with me, and I'll come back on as much as possible, because it is going to be a very interesting year, a presidential election year. You know, the control of the state Senate is up for grabs this year. You know, it is going to be an interesting political year. And again, I think a lot of those things are going to help me in terms of winning this seat this fall. And so I'll be happy to be back as much as you'll have me.
Thank you, Jeff. And I do have one last question.
Sure.
From what you see and what you read and from the people you talk to, how much of an attraction will the top of this ticket hold? Do you think that either Hillary Clinton, if she's the nominee, or Donald Trump will have coattails effect? And if so, would that change the what's going on in the New York State Senate?
Yeah, I think absolutely there's going to be coattails. First of all, again, presidential election year, is a Democratic candidate, whoever he or she is, will always have coattails for down-ticket Democrats in presidential election years. That happens regardless. Secretary Clinton has a strong following here in the state of New York. And yeah, Senator Sanders did fantastically well here in upstate New York. I firmly believe that the vast majority of Senator Sanders supporters, if not voting for Secretary Clinton, will certainly be voting against Donald Trump. And I also believe that the biggest sort of, if you want to call it coattails, maybe reverse coattails is a better way to call it, is Donald Trump for candidates like myself in districts like this. Look, this is a suburban upstate New York, suburban/rural upstate New York district. There's certainly a core Donald Trump fan base within the district, but I think, and from my sense of being out there on the doors, knocking on doors, his appeal is into a very small niche. Most upstate New York Republicans are moderate Republicans. They're Roy McDonald type Republicans. And if you don't know, remember Roy McDonald, he was the senator before Kathy Marshall. Republican, moderate, fiscally conservative, socially sort of middle of the road, was one of the key votes that made marriage equality pass in 2011. Bucked the trend of his party, voted for marriage equality, and that's why Senator Marchione primary challenged him, because she's anti-marriage equality. But anyways, I think most Republican voters are more in Roy McDonald's line, and I think they're getting turned off by Donald Trump. And if they're not going to vote for Secretary Clinton, if they stay home, if we get 2-3%, even a small percentage of average Republican voters staying home because they don't want to vote for Secretary Clinton and can't stomach voting for Donald Trump, that's voters that would otherwise be voting for Kathy Marchione. That's essentially a vote for me, and it increases my chances of winning. So I am really excited about how we're going to fare this November.
Well, Sean, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, and I look forward
Same
to talking
to you, Cynthia. Thank you so much.
So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone. You can subscribe on iTunes. And if you have a comment or a criticism about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Sean, the best of luck. Thank you. And thank you, everybody,
thank you
for listening. Bye.